want to make an announcement as y'all are still kind of getting on board before we get into our singing. This Sunday is Mother's Day, as most of you know. And we are going to still honor all of our moms this Sunday. Even though, you know, most moms won't be here. We will have a few here Sunday morning, but most of our mothers will not be here Sunday. So we are going to still honor moms. And so tune in for more details Sunday. We are still going to do our drawing as always, and there will be some mothers that will win this drawing. And you do not have to be present to win. We've got a plan of how to do that Sunday. So make sure you're here for Mother's Day so we can honor each of you guys that are part of our church family. It'll be a little different not seeing all of you and getting a hug all of you and getting a little photo with all of you up here lined up on the stage, but you're still going to be honored and recognized, and it's a very special day for you. You're still a mother, no matter what's going on in the world, that's for sure. And for some of you that have been stuck at home with your kids, you know you're a mother, right, Dee? You know you're a mother. So we're going to honor you guys Sunday morning. Let's open up in prayer tonight, and then we'll get into our worship. Father, as we enter this service, we just ask you bless the singing, that you bless the word, that all those that are watching will be touched by your presence, that they will feel you, God, where they are at, and they will experience you where they are at, and they will have their hearts healed and hearts encouraged and their lives touched by what they hear tonight, knowing that you can change our circumstance in a moment. We're going to read that tonight of how you changed a man's life. You gave him way more than he ever expected. And God, you're able to do that for our lives. Give us more than what we even expect. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for protecting us this week. We thank you your hand of mercy is still on us. And we thank you are leading us through this this valley that we are going through as a nation, and that we are going to go through it, and we are going to win, and we are going to come out as overcomers because you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. And we thank you for that. Bless all that's done tonight in word and song for all of our church family's needs. You know what they are, and I just pray you touch them and help them, whether it be physical needs or financial needs, emotional needs, family needs, whatever they are, God, we give them to you tonight, that you will help and touch and meet the needs of the ones that we love. We give you praise, honor, and glory as always, for you are Lord as always. In Jesus' name, amen. Go have Dee come tonight. She's going to bless you with a couple of songs. And if you've not heard Dee sing, then you're going to be very blessed. God has given her a great gift. And the title of my message tonight is that very thing. Are you giving what you've got? And Dee tonight is giving a little bit of what she's got, and that is a gift from God for song. And so I'm very thankful she's with us tonight, and I know that you will be blessed. On keyboard, D. Lee singing, beautiful combination. I want you guys to know that you are loved. You know, we go through a lot of heartache in our life, don't we? A lot of pain. People let us down. People disappoint us. People fail us. People leave us. Sometimes we feel all alone in the world because we don't receive sometimes the love we give out, and we feel cheated by that. But the love Jesus gave us is forever. He won't walk out on you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He won't dump you. He will always be with you. And I'm so thankful. And I think of the love of God. I think of what he did for me and paid that beautiful price at Calvary that I would be loved. It's hard sometimes to believe I'm loved because no matter how saved we are, if you want to use that term people use, how saved we are, we fail God continually. We fail. We make mistakes and we come short. Yet God loves us. We sure don't live near a life of perfection, but God still loves us. Sometimes we even sin intentionally because the flesh just wants to sin. And God loves us anyway. And that's the kind of love that man don't give you. And I'm thankful for that love tonight. So if you don't feel loved by anyone else, I want you that are watching to know you're loved by God to the point that he gave his life for you. Not in your perfected state, but in your broken state, he gave his life for you. And I'm thankful for that. So once again, thank Dee for being here to sing. She worked all day, has two small kids, midweek service, and thank you, Dee, for honoring God and giving what you've got to the body of Christ. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3 tonight, Acts chapter 3, and we are going to be talking about, are you giving what you got? And we're not talking about money, so don't tune out. Are you giving what you got? There are people all around us that we can bless, that we can help, that's in need. And God uses each of us to provide that blessing and to provide that need. We just have to listen and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You know, Mr. Randy's always talking about listening to the Holy Spirit, following God's plan for your lives, fulfilling his purpose. And that is so true. If we would realize each one of us in here tonight, each one of you watching by Facebook, each of you that are followers of Christ, that are believers in him, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, then we each have something to give to someone else. And it doesn't have to be a great dramatic thing. The greatest thing we have as Christians, I've said this all the time, the greatest thing we can show someone else, it's not how much Bible knowledge we have. It's not quoting them scriptures. It's not dooming them to hell or trying to rescue them to heaven. It's loving them. It's showing them love where they are at, no matter where they are at. And that's a big problem I see among many Christian people, is we love the ones that look like us. We give to the ones that we feel comfortable with, but to the outcast, to the wretched, to the one that don't look like us or act like us, then sometimes we don't fully give ourselves to them, and we're missing out on what God has called us to do. Listen to the Holy Spirit and let him lead you in all that you do. In this story of Acts chapter 3, we're talking about Peter and John. And they gave something to a man far beyond what this man expected, and it changed his life forever. Chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." This is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're on their way to pray. "And a certain lame man," a crippled man, "from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them, and entered into that temple." So let's get a picture of this. Here's a man who had never walked his whole life. If you do the Bible, if you do some study, he's around 40, in his 40s. He had never walked. Every day, someone carried him and laid him at the temple to ask for money. The temple was a good place because people were on their way to worship, and these were people that, for Jewish people, they wanted to help people, they wanted to give to people, so it was a very good avenue to get some money in this location. So they would go every day, lay this man there, he could not walk, and he would ask people as they walked by for money to help out his situation. Verse 3, "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked him of an alms," asked for some help, asked for some money. "Can you meet my need?" "Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them." And he was about to receive something of him, but it wasn't what he was expecting. It was something much more and much greater. We think that the natural need being met is what's most important. Whenever the Lord says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," then all these things will be added to you. Put God first, everything else lines up. It's important we seek him first. He's expecting a big offering. He's expecting a big giving of something into his hands because, hey, look at me. Oh, I'm excited. What are they going to give me? Here's what Peter said. "Silver and gold have I none." Now, of course, he had something to give, but that's not what he's talking about. Silver and gold's not what you need, is what he's saying. Silver and gold's not what I'm going to give you. "But such as I have, I give you." At home, I want you to say that. Such as I have. I want you to repeat that. Such as I have, I will give away. What do I have, Pastor? You've always, Christians should have some of the common things we all share. You should have love. You should have forgiveness. You should have patience. You should have faith. You should have understanding. You should have helping hands and a willing heart. What can I do to change someone's life? Meeting their need doesn't mean you write a blank check to pay off all their problems. You can meet their need by giving them what they need in that moment. Silver and gold is not what this man needed. This man needed a miracle, a healing. Silver and gold was fine, but it couldn't buy his healing. A doctor still couldn't fix him. It wouldn't change his situation or circumstance. But what Peter and John had was going to change this man's circumstance. It was more than money. It was more than riches. It was a divine touch from God in whom they served. And because they were filled with his spirit, they had this to give. Did you know you as Christians have the same Holy Ghost living in you that Peter and John had? It's a matter of how we activate that, how we operate in that. Do we just lay back and let it lay dormant and not use it? Or do we use what God gave us to bring results? I've used an example before of a gym. And I'll use a man, for example, because I'm a man. Us men like big biceps. Most of us don't have those. But some of you do. And for those biceps, all of men have biceps. And the way to make those biceps big is to work them. You have the French curl, and you have the bar curl, and you have the other things that I used to do when the gym was open. You have all these things where you can do this with your arms, and what it does, it builds that muscle. I know you can't see it from there, but that's a pretty good bicep. Right, Gail? Pretty good bicep. And right there it is. And the more I work that, the bigger that thing gets. And for the little wimpy guys, I wish I was built like you. You know what you got to do? You got to activate it. You got to use what God gave you. If your arm can do this, you can do a curl. If your arm can do that, you can pick up a weight. You can still use that arm. Here is Peter and John. They had something to give this man, but it wasn't what he was expecting. And it wasn't they were on a mission to heal somebody. They're simply on their way to prayer meeting. That's all they're doing. And they pass this man, and the Holy Spirit speaks to them and gives them an unction to do something in this man's life. You may think you're not qualified to bring healing or hope to someone because your life's a wreck. Well, I'm going to tell you, as you begin to give your wrecked life out to someone else and say, I'm going to give away what I've got. I'm not perfect. I've got my own problems, but this I can give you. I can give you understanding. I can give you love. I can give you a smile. I can give you a phone call. I can write you a letter. I can let you know I love you and be encouraged. Those are things as Christians that we do. All of us as Christians should be cheerleaders, if nothing else, encouraging and exhorting one another, as the Bible says, and lifting one another up, not tearing each other down. Silver and gold is not what you need, but such as I have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, let me explain this. This meant something. This name wasn't just a title of who he was. It's not like saying in the name of Gail Patterson. What does that mean? It's just his name on the earth. No power in that name. But in Aramaic teaching, whether it be Judaism, Christianity, even the Islamic teaching, in this culture of teaching, a name meant the power that came with that name. A name identified the power of who they were. So when he said in the name of Jesus Christ, it wasn't just talking about in the name of the man from Galilee, in the name of the man, the son of Joseph and Mary, but in the name of all that represents, in the name of the risen Savior, in the name of the King of Kings, in the name of the glory of Father, in the name of all that he is, that's what I'm invoking. I'm invoking that name which represents power that can move mountains and power that can heal the sick and power that can slay the giants. That's what that name represented. So when he invoked that name, he was invoking the power that come with that name. And we know there is no name more powerful than the name of Jesus Christ. So he spoke for him to rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, in that moment, right then, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Something was happening to this man's life that had never happened before. He had never experienced this before. He was having something in his legs, feeling that he had never had before, because Peter and John gave this man something they had. What did they have? They had faith. And they had the Spirit of God living in them. And that Spirit of God was unleashed into their life to the point it changed his life. Silver and gold is not what he needed. A healing is what he needed. We can bring healing, and we can bring hope, and we can bring change into people's lives if we will give away what God has given us. The Bible talks in 1 Corinthians a lot about gifts in the body, gifts of the ministry. We have the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of teaching, the gifts of tongues, the gifts of healings, the gifts of helps. You know, all these gifts that God gives us. And here at Living Word, we have a very diverse body of people that do a lot of different things. You know, Marjorie, a keyboard player, unless I'm missing something, is probably not called maybe to preach or pastor a church, but she's definitely called to play a keyboard. Dee is called to sing. We have those that are called to be behind the scenes that don't want any attention, are simply happy being behind the scenes and serving God in that capacity. Each of us have gifts. Are we giving away what God gave us? Peter and John did on the way to prayer meeting. And I remember this, just before this, even though they were now Christians, they were new Christians, they still were keeping a lot of the Jewish traditions and Jewish ways. They were still Jewish in their culture, but Christian in their faith. And so as they're going still three times a day to pray at the temple, they come across this man, and they had just come out of the upper room. Remember that. A couple of chapters back, they had just come out of the upper room where the Holy Ghost had filled the upper room and empowered them with something they didn't have before. So all of a sudden, Peter and John are carrying something inside of them they didn't have before. The power of the Holy Spirit. What do I do with that? Is it just for me to clap my hands and shout hallelujah and dance in the spirit and act religious? No. The Holy Spirit in us is for us to share that with others to bring healing and hope and peace and joy into their lives that only the Spirit can do. But we've got to take time to fasten our eyes on those who are broken and those who are paralyzed in their fears, paralyzed in their problems, paralyzed in their situation, who are crippled and are stuck where they are and they can't do it on their own. So what do? We come along and we say, silver and gold is not going to make your problems go away. Money, homes, and the right job is not going to fix all your needs. But what I do have is this. I have faith in the power of a risen Savior, and that faith in Christ I give unto you. Believe on him that raised Jesus from the dead. Believe on him who lives and reigns forevermore. Believe on the one who is the King of Kings, and watch what God can do with that. And all of a sudden, with those words, we take a life that is stuck in a place that cannot move, and they begin step by step, maybe it's baby steps, to move forward in their situation because you came along. And then as they move forward, someone else comes along to get them a little bit farther. Then someone else follows them in their next season to get them a little bit farther. It's a chain reaction of help from those who are called by God to give away what we have. Let's share what we have in our faith in Jesus. When he stood up, look what happened in verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. For the first time ever, this man could walk. Think about that. I mean, this was an incredible moment. I could see if Forrest Gump was there, right? Lieutenant Dan, you got legs. I mean, all of a sudden, this guy who couldn't walk is praising God and leaping. And not only was he changed physically, but apparently the faith of Jesus went into his heart because he's praising God and going to church with them, walking into the temple. God gave this man a lot more than silver and gold. Sometimes we're looking for the big home run, and all we need is the squeeze bunt to get the guy home. That's all that we need. We take the big swing and we whip around and fall flat on our backside. And sometimes all God is saying is just do this and then I'll take it from here. Peter and John could have flipped him $5 on the way to the temple. Here's $5 and felt good about themselves. And hey, I did a good deed. I'm a Jew. And right before the, you know, I did a good thing. But this man caught their attention. Why did this situation catch their attention? Because the Spirit prompted them. How do I know, Pastor, when the Spirit's leading me? How do I know it's not just my thoughts? It's just not all in my head. I think we know as Christians when the Spirit is leading us. We just don't always obey that. Out of fear of failure, out of fear of rejection, out of fear of being made fun of, obey the Spirit when it leads and trust the Lord. Peter and John trusted what the Spirit was leading them to do, and this man's life was changed. Now he's praising and leaping and praising God and going into the temple. And then verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Everybody knew that was the guy. I know you, man. You've been here for 40 years. I've known you my whole life. That's you. What happened? And they're astonished and they're amazed, as any of us would be. And look at verse 11. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. Here comes Peter. Now, if you remember Peter, he was very outspoken. If Peter was alive today, he would not be a very politically correct speaker. He would tell it like it is. Peter was very outspoken, except the three times he denied Jesus. Other than that, he was quite outspoken. Look what he says. The people are amazed, they're wondering, and he points everything back to God, which we should. He said, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" Now, we have seen in my lifetime, I've seen this. Many of you may have seen this. We have seen ministers and evangelists that people flock to them thinking the power is with them. And if he or she could just lay their hands on me, it would be made whole. The power is not in the person. The power is not in them. The power is the God that lives in them. And Peter is making that very clear. It's not me and John that did this. What are you saying? We're not holy enough. We're not right. We're not good enough. We're not powerful. It's not in us. We read Sunday morning out of Corinthians where Paul says that this treasure lives in earthen vessels. What is that treasure? The treasure of the power of God lives in these earthen vessels. He says, it's not us that did this. Our holiness didn't do it. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. See what Peter is doing. He's backing them up to the faith they believe in, which is the old covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. He hath glorified his son Jesus. Now here's where he just tears it up. Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Remember, Pilate tried to let Jesus go. The people wouldn't let him. No. What's he done? Crucify. Peter's reminding them exactly of what they did to Jesus. Then he goes on to say, you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. I mean, man, he is telling it like it is. He's like Trump at a press conference. I'm just saying, that's pretty bold. He's telling a crowd, you let a murderer go and you killed this Jesus. He goes on in verse 15, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore, we are witnesses. He's reminding them the same Jesus they killed, the same Jesus that they crucified, is the same Jesus that made this man whole. He's pointing them to who Jesus is, letting them know, not us, but him. The one you denied, the one you crucified, the one you killed is the very one that made this man whole. And then verse 17 is the power verse tonight. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Maybe you're watching tonight and you are in a weak place because of everything that's happened the last couple of months. You're just weak. You're tired. You're broken. Maybe it had nothing to do with what's going on. Maybe you've been broken and weak for a long time. And you're like, I don't know how to get strength. I don't know where my hope comes from. I don't know where my future comes from. I work hard. I pay my bills. I do this. But I'm miserable. I'm not happy. I have no strength. I have no hope. I have nothing. What can I do to change my destiny? I'm like this paralyzed man. Though I can physically walk, I feel like I'm stuck in the same place day after day, never receiving really what I need. Not really what I need. Things happen in my life, but nothing's happening really in my life. Things are coming at me, and I'm fulfilled with some things, but yet I'm left a little bit empty and a little bit void, and I need God to meet my need where I'm at. Well, your need's not going to be met by anything tangible or anything that's on this world, natural. Your need is met by Jesus and faith in him. And it says here that this man was made strong. He was healed by his faith in the name of Jesus, whom you see and know. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Perfect soundness. I think we know what soundness means. If somebody says they don't have a sound mind, woohoo, woohoo, right? They're cuckoo. Soundness means we're stable. It means we're grounded. It means we got it together. It means we're whole. We're complete. We're not lacking. Most of us have parts of our life that aren't sound, whether it's with battles within ourselves, whether it's in our home, whether it's with our job, whether it's with our money or our health. We don't have soundness. But when you place your faith in Jesus, when you place your faith in the one who is, when you place your faith in him alone. We talked last Sunday, the anchor holds with my message, and about how what an anchor does. And this Jesus is your anchor tonight. This Jesus holds you grounded, holds you steady, that when all the storms of life are beating upon your ship, you stay right where God has you. You don't drift away. You don't get lost in the fog. You don't hit a rock or grind ashore. You stay planted where the anchor of God has you until the storm passes. And that's exactly what that name can give your life tonight. You need soundness. You need wholeness. You need completeness. Maybe you don't need a physical miracle, but you need something in your life to get you out of where you're at now. And all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and we shall be saved. And saved means more than just going to heaven. Saved means healing. It means deliverance. It means preservation. It means wholeness. The word saved has many meanings. And if you need saved tonight in any way, as you call upon the name of the Lord, he will help you. Sometimes we're looking for help in all the wrong places, whenever God has exactly what we need in his hands. And with the noise of the world around us, and it's been a little less noise the last couple of months, and it's given some people some time to reflect, hopefully, and to think about their future and about what really means something to them and what's really important in their lives, things they can do without, things that they need, kind of has given us an area of who do we trust? Do we trust the government? Do we trust the news? Do we trust the sickness? Do we trust the doctors? Do we trust God? Do we trust the preachers? Do we trust our coworkers? Who do we trust? Who do we trust during this time? We said Sunday morning, the only rock is Jesus Christ. He's the only rock. We have other people support our lives, but only one rock, only one anchor, only one grounding, and that is faith in the Lord. For all the stuff that we see now is going to soon pass away. The older we get, the faster it goes. You know, my next birthday is a pretty big one next year, and I really can't believe that that's going to be my age. And I look back at my life, and I'm like, I still see my dad at that age that I'm about to turn. That should be my dad, not me. How did I get that old? How did I reach that milestone? How did I get to that place? And I look back and realize, you know, you work hard all your life and you stress all your life and you struggle really all your life. I don't care who you are, you're struggling with something. You're struggling with something all your life to make ends meet. You're always trying to get to the next day, get ahead the next day. And I look back and think, all this is going to one day be gone anyway. And all I've got left is my faith in Jesus Christ. It's all I got left. All I have left is my faith in him. Silver and gold do me no good the next step of my life. The only thing that does me good the next step of my life is knowing Jesus. And this man was not only healed physically, but apparently he had a spiritual transformation as well as he went leaping, praising God, into the temple. The soundness of mind is something that we all need. The soundness of mind. Do you know God gave you something during this? He gave you his Holy Spirit. And what's the purpose of that? Remember what Jesus told disciples? That I'm going to leave you, but don't fear. Peace I leave with you, and that peace shall remain. That I will teach you all things. I will show you all things. That I will be a great comforter. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is to give us peace in the middle of the storm, to give us understanding when we don't have any knowledge, is to direct us when we have no idea where to go. The Holy Spirit is our guide. It's our anchor. It's our grounding force. That upper room experience was probably a pretty good revival meeting. Wouldn't you say 120 people in this one room together? And when the fire, the Holy Spirit filled that room, the Bible says it sat upon each one of them. All 120 received this power of the Holy Spirit. Didn't skip one person. All of them that was in that room, it touched and it changed. And it gave each one what they needed the rest of their life to get them through. As a Christian, you've got what you need to get you through the rest of your life here on earth every single day. But are we activating it? Are we using it? Or are we just letting it lay dormant and forgetting to call upon the Lord? Do we pray like we should? Do we seek God like we should? Do we read like we should? Do we trust God like we should? This has been a great time of reflection. And we have seen on both sides during this crisis two extreme viewpoints of what's going on. And most of us are on one side or the other. Some of you may be in the middle of a balance, but most of us feel one way or the other about this. And we've seen great conflict and we've seen great controversy over what we're battling right now. But as we trust Jesus through this, that's really all that matters. There's an old song, Trusting Jesus is All That Really Matters. It's an oldie. I remember that from years ago, singing that in church. Trusting Jesus is all that really matters. Do you know that song by chance? May have Margie play that here in a minute at the end, because that's an oldie. But that is all that matters, is trusting Jesus. So no matter what's going on around me, remember what's happened in me. No matter what's happening against me, what's already happened in me. I am God's child now and forever, and nothing's going to change that. Nothing that happens against me is going to change the status and how I stand with God as his child. This lame man, which he doesn't give his name, but this lame man's life was changed, and it was changed through the name and faith in that name. Where is your faith? If your faith is in your money, you're going to live a miserable life because money comes and goes. If your faith is in your good health, that's going to come and go. If my faith was in my beautiful hair I had back when I was younger, Gail, that's all gone. Thank God my faith wasn't in that. If your faith is in your cars, your homes, all that perishes. But your faith in Jesus stands the test and it stands the storm. Trusting Jesus is all that really matters. And because of that, your life will never be the same. This man's life was transformed forever. He never begged again. He never was crippled again. He never had to sit the alms at the gate asking for money anymore. Jesus changed his life, and he can change your life. And as Christians, start being a Peter and John and giving away to others what God has given you. It may be something simple as a smile to someone, an encouraging word. It may be something like that. I was at 7-Eleven this week, stopping to get my normal cappuccino, and the girl that's always in there, she wasn't herself. She wasn't herself. I said, "You okay?" And I said, "What's wrong?" "Nothing." I said, "Something's wrong with you. What's going on?" And she shared with me what was going on and everything. And I was on the way to church that Sunday morning. And I told her, I said, "I will pray for you this morning, and I'll keep you in my prayers this morning." And she says, "Thank you so much." Something simple like that. Just giving someone some hope and a listening ear that you care. I mean, let people know that you care about them. Love is the greatest gift we have as Christians to give out to people. And I'm going to tell you something. It don't cost one penny to love somebody. It don't cost you a dime to love somebody and to show them compassion and understanding and love. And God has called all of us to meet that need in someone's life in some way. And each of us have something we can give. If you don't know what you could give someone else to help change them, pray about it. Say, "God, show me what I'm supposed to give someone to help their lives." Peter and John gave this man a healing by obeying the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit and trust the Lord. Give what God has given you and give it away. Have you got that song ready, Marjorie? We're going to have Marjorie come do this song, and I know I'm throwing her in the fire here, but she seems pretty confident that she's okay. Do what? Oh, gotcha. Oh, touching. I'm sorry, not trusting. I got the song. Well, Melanie knows I never know any songs. It's touching Jesus, not trusting Jesus, but I was close. So, anyway, listen to this song as Marjorie sings this oldie, "Touching Jesus, All That Really Matters."
Touching Jesus is all.
To help you up, but I want you to stand up where you're at before we close this service. If you're watching by faith, just standing up off your couch is an act of faith right now. Wherever you're at, stand up. And as she sings this song, if you need for Jesus to touch you, that you need something from him tonight, as you are standing where you're at, I want you to lift your hands and let his presence touch you. And by faith, and trusting that He is going to give you right now what you need. Whatever that need is, whatever you're going through, as you're standing there, let Him touch your life. By faith, reach out and say, Lord, here I am, and I pray that you touch me. Go and sing it, Marjorie. Let God touch you where you're at right now.
Touching Jesus.
Yes. Staying, God.
And your love will never be the same.
Yes, Lord. Cover them where they are, God.
There is only one way to touch you. Just believe when you call on His name. And your life will never be the same.
This man's life is never the same again. There
is only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name.
Hallelujah. What a beautiful song to close out with. I hope the Lord touched you where you were tonight watching and trusting Him that as you reach out, He will supply your need. You don't have to be a beggar anymore. God has what you need tonight. Trust Him with that. Hallelujah. We'll close out in prayer. Don't forget, Sunday morning is Mother's Day. I need all the moms to tune in. It's very important, mothers, if you're a mother Sunday morning, that you watch. Very, very important. That if you want to be a possible winner of something nice, then you need to tune in and watch us. And don't miss out on us honoring all the mommies of our church. And even some other mothers that's not part of the church. We've got a special something for you as well that might be watching Sunday morning. So we're going to honor all the moms. So let's close out in prayer tonight before y'all tune out. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the beautiful worship and music tonight. Thank you for the gifts of God you put in this church that are part of this body that serve you, God, with the worship and the music. We thank you for their service. We thank you, God, that there is power in your name. We thank you that we have something in us to give away to others. Let us be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Let us listen to what you're wanting us to do, and let us not be afraid to step out, no matter how awkward it may seem, to trust you with what you're telling us, because someone like this lame man is laying in our lives every day and we're passing them by. Let us, God, lead each one of us to a lame man that we can be a Peter or John and we can give them what they need to change their lives. We thank you and we praise you for being Lord and God of all, and we give you all honor in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for watching. Love all of my Living Word family. We'll see you Sunday morning.